The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that
what
we
up,
do?
Dog.
We get a people!
What they want.
The only show on television with a co-host that grooms his hair with a tennis racket. Welcome to Jalen and Jacoby. A lot to get to, but we start with some sound from LeBron James at Media Day. Let's listen to the king.
I know that I was very skeptical about it all. But after doing my research and things of that nature, I felt like it was best suited for not only me, but for my family and for my friends. And, you know, and that's why I decided to do it. So, but the ultimate goal was to obviously win a championship. And, you know, it starts with being, you know, obviously health is the number one thing.
Jalen, he says a health is the number one thing. Are the healthy Lakers your favorite to win the championship?
Absolutely. The clear-cut favorite to not only be the best team in basketball, but to win this year's championship. And it's also my job to give everybody a nugget that nobody's discussing that they will be after it comes out of my mouth.
Give us the nugget.
I pay attention to the schedule. And the Lakers play 16 of their first 18 games in the Staples Center. They're going to get off to an amazing start, Jacoby. They're
going
to be beating teams by double digits. Therefore, you're not going to overtax LeBron and AD early in the season. We're not going to have to worry about if there are going to be chemistry issues with Russ and Melo and Dwight and Rondo, because they're going to be in the comforts of their own gym, ironing those kinks out. They're going to get off to an amazing start that's going to catapult them to be in a position to achieve their goals. So, yes, the Lakers, clear-cut, best team in basketball.
I'm sorry, I'm a little taken aback. I'm not used to you being so prepared for a topic on the show. You're trying to tell me that 16 of the first 18 games they play in the Staples Center? 16 of the first 18 games? Well, I hope that they will have a lot of fourth quarters to rest their players, because let's be honest, their players are old, and my favorite to win the championship are the Brooklyn Nets. Jalen Rose, there is no matchup for Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. There is no matchup for those three. And please, please, please let us have a Nets-Lakers finals, because those are clearly the best teams in their conference. And if both teams are healthy, I would pick the Nets over the Lakers, even though I'm a huge LeBron stan.
I gave you a hypothetical conversation a couple of months ago. It's LeBron picking up the phone, and it's KD, and he's telling KD good luck with Kyrie, and then KD returning the favor when Russ signs to play with the Lakers. KD returns the phone call. I understand, and you're right. Superstar power galore if it's Nets and it's Lakers. But who guards AD for the Nets whenever you get a chance? Also, what about the games that members of their big three may be required to miss if they're unvaccinated? That's why you started this topic off with LeBron saying, yeah, he was hesitant. Yeah, I've been hesitant to do a lot of stuff, right? But I don't judge people by what they think about doing. I judge people by what they actually do. And you know what LeBron did? He made sure he got vaccinated, because he doesn't want health to be an issue to get in the way of him winning a championship.
Well, I'll say this about all the vaccine talk. I believe that almost every single NBA player will end up getting the vaccine because the money is so significant. So I think all of this will disappear by the time the actual season starts. But LeBron himself acknowledged in his quote, health is the number one thing. Because what happened to the Lakers last year in the Oh, that's right. They weren't healthy. And they got bounced in the first round by the Suns, who ended up winning the Western Conference. There's also an interesting little nugget involving the Lakers from Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, where Russell Westbrook previously played. He floated out to Mr. Westbrook that potentially there was a trade for him to go to the Clippers on the table. And Westbrook's response was, hell no. Why do you think Westbrook responded this way to a potential trade to the Clippers?
Because he grew up a long time Laker fan, Magic fan, Kobe Bean Bryant fan, bleeding the purple and gold. And it's like, if I get a chance to go play in Cali, I don't even want it to be for the Warriors or the Kings. Definitely not the Clippers, a team that was formerly owned by one Donald Sterling. So I am not surprised that he mentioned this to Tommy Shepard, who, by the way, when his name is said, that's right, that was also a character in Above the Rim.
I really, every time they say GM Tommy Shepard, I'm like, the guy from Above the Rim is the GM of the Wizards? But Jalen, you're talking about the uniform. Don't you think that's something to do with the players in the uniform? Don't you think that he would rather play with LeBron and AD than play with Kawhi and PG?
Well, here's something unique for a future Hall of Famer like Russ, especially at this point of his career. Many of the elite players currently in the game, he's already played with them at some point of his career.
Good
he's played with Harden and KD already in his career. Now he gets to play with LeBron and AD at this iteration of his career. And last year, the second leading scorer in the NBA, Bradley Beal. So he's been able to play with some great players. What about Paul George? And maybe Russ was thinking, I tried that in OKC. Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily get it done. He left me and usurped my thought to go home and actually went and joined Kawhi with the Clippers. And two teams later, I now have to find my way full circle back in California. It's going to be some great theater happening between the Lakers and the Clippers once Kawhi gets healthy. But I agree with you. The best two teams, and I'm not surprised if they potentially make it to the finals, will be the Lakers and the Nets. But don't underestimate Giannis Antetokounmpo. I came through the door. I've said it before. Giannis just now realized that y'all can't stop me. Like, why am I playing around? I ain't got to shoot six threes. I ain't got to show y'all that I can go between the legs, behind the back. I'm just going to dominate. So don't underestimate Giannis, Middleton, and Drew. Holiday!
There was so much discussion about vaccines coming out of Media Day that some important and significant quotes were not discussed, like this one from the Minnesota Timberwolves' Karl-Anthony Towns.
I've been through almost, I could feel like everything. Like, I don't feel like I've not seen something. You know, I've been through everything. Been through death of a head coach. I've been through numerous front offices. I've been through numerous regimes. You know, I've been everything from defamed by teammates, been a scapegoat for people, just COVID, my own personal life. I mean, it hasn't been easy.
Wow, when you put it like that, Karl-Anthony Towns has been through a lot in his time in Minnesota, but he hasn't been through a lot of winning. Can the Minnesota Timberwolves turn it around this season?
I hope so. And Karl-Anthony Towns is one of my favorite people in the NBA, Jacoby. And as he just acknowledged, in a different way of Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, what happens in a lot of cases, he's a large black man. He's 7 foot tall. He's making millions of dollars at his job. A lot of times people dismiss the human element of all that it takes in order for him to try to perform at optimum level. And he didn't discuss the personal deaths and tragedies that he's also endured multiple over the last couple of years. People that are extremely close to him, including his mom. And so the Minnesota Timberwolves came to play against the Pistons. I was actually at a game. And we shared this conversation because I'd recently lost my mom as well. And so we just talked about having the ability to do the best we can to endure under those very tough circumstances. You see, the stands are empty. So right now you see the stands and they're full and people are back playing. This just shows how long he's been dealing with those circumstances. So I am rooting for him. I am praying for him. I'm glad they got Ant-Man in the draft, who's going to be a terrific player. Hopefully D'Angelo Russell can stay healthy this year. And also, 4 or 5 years ago, the NBA GMs did a poll of which player they would take over anybody in the league. Carl Anthony Towns was the number one pick. So I say to you, no shade to Anthony Davis, because I see AD as a four that can play five in a small ball lineup. Carl Anthony Towns has been a five his entire career. So I ask you, say you flip Anthony Davis to Carl Anthony Towns. They'll still be the favorites, if not just as good or not better in the Western Conference. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, absolutely do. And you spoke about number one picks, and I would like to speak about a number one pick in Zion Williamson. It came out that he had a fractured foot, got surgery in the offseason. However, his time with the Pelicans has not been as successful as we all expected, given their roster. How critical is this season for them to keep Zion long-term?
I'm really happy that they got Willie Green as their head coach. And one of the things that he's gonna do is hold the Pelicans, in particular Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, accountable on the defensive end. That's where they've struggled. Mm-hmm. The beauty of Zion's game, he's a bull in the china shop. You can put him at the four. You can put him at point center. Not many guys at those spots are going to be able to stay in front of him, in particular because he got a great handle, and he's a really good passer. B.I., smooth. 20-plus, 25-point scorer, can score every level, virtually unstoppable when he get going. But when both of those dudes are at their best, the geometry of the floor is Zion was playing point center, and B.I. was kind of playing a small ball four, which means you're going to struggle defensively. Because neither one of those guys, Zion doesn't necessarily have the rim protection. He's not a shot blocker and a big-time rim protector, and is not very tall. And Brandon Ingram, based on his body type, is just not physically imposing enough to go against a lot of fours and a lot of to stop a lot of drives to the basket. And so that's what has to change, what you see on the screen, their level of defensive effort.
When you look up and down the roster, you see a lot of people that can put the ball in the basket, but not a lot of people that can play defense, which is what they need. And hopefully their new head coach will bring that to this team, because I feel like there's been rumors about Zion not necessarily being happy with the franchise. And if they have another season where they don't make the playoffs or even get close to the playoffs, whoa. What are we calling 20 second timeout for?
No, I'm not going to be able to do it. Paul George was once in Indiana. Anthony Davis was once with the Pelicans. James Harden was once with the Rockets. And you know what they all had to realize at some point? Me with this franchise is not going to get us to being a consistent contender or a champion. So now I need to leave and join a best player in order for that to happen. So are you already putting Zion in that category?
Oh,
because
yeah.
I want to introduce you to somebody. My guy. Ja Morant. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr. was hurt last year. Ja Morant got them to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the Western Conference, Dame Dalla gets Portland to the playoffs. So if Zion is the player that we say he is, and if Brandon Ingram is the player that we say he is, since both of those guys are all-stars, I expect them to lead the team to the playoffs. Show me.
Well, we will see this season. Jalen, something tells me this won't be the last time that we talk about the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. He had some interesting things to say after their big come-from-behind win in San Francisco. We'll discuss that right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching J&J. to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 at the Seaport in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I knew that we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers all season long because of all the drama, and here is what he said on Pat McAfee's show after the big win on Sunday night.
Well, it's a rough night, I guess, for some of those he doesn't care campers. It always is a special place for me to come back to Northern California, but I don't need any extra motivation or inspiration. It was a measuring stick for our football team, I think, to see how we matched up against another really good football team, and I'm proud of our guys.
I love how he said it was a measuring stick for his football team to see how they matched up against a good football team because they played the Lions the week before. Jalen, what do you think about Rodgers' reflection on Sunday night?
Nights like this, I wish raindrops would fall.
Is that even a song?
Nights like this, he acting like Eddie Kane when he knew he was leaving the group. That's all Aaron Rodgers doing. And by the way, he's so happy that they won. Did you see him do like the Phil Weber hip thrust? I think I saw that at the end. He used to do the discount double check. Now he's doing the hip thrust. Like, next time, can he raise the roof? Like, seriously. Like, in all honesty, it was great to see him get back playing at an MVP level. Devontae Adams catching everything thrown in his way. I don't know why he didn't get into the concussion protocol after the hit that he took. And our guy, Aaron Jones, is currently leading the league in touchdowns.
So, Jalen, I had a thought. The Packers looked pretty good on Sunday night, and I said to myself, imagine if they go on a run. Imagine if they win the NFC Championship and go to the Super Bowl. Could you see a world in which Aaron Rodgers looks around the league and says, I don't want to play in Denver. I don't want to play in Washington. I want to stay here. Could he stay with the Packers next year?
So you want him to do an Eel and Al scratch. You want him to be look up and down, say, I'll take after he wins the championship. So here's what he'll have to do in order for that to take place. They got to fire some people in the front office. Seems like he's good with Matt LaFleur, clearly. But if you go and win the Super Bowl, now you got to go stand on the table like it's Mount Everest and like, I'll stay, but her got to go.
Well, some tells we'll have plenty of time to discuss that. What's happening in that division in Chicago is very interesting. We saw Justin Fields get absolutely beat up by Myles Garrett and the Browns, and a lot of people are questioning Matt Nagy's game plan. And he says now that all three quarterbacks are under consideration. That includes Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and, Nick Foles are all being considered. However, they do play the Lions, so it's almost a guaranteed win. What do you think they will do at the quarterback position?
Well, each of the quarterbacks better be available. That's just basic service. Dalton got injured two games prior. Justin Fields got sacked 9 times in the last game. And they have a third-string quarterback in Nick Foles, who's actually been a Super Bowl MVP. It totally makes sense. But for everybody that says they wanted to see Justin Fields out there on the field, you got what you wanted. You already got it. Didn't they get what they want? Jalen and Jacoby specifically told them, do not put him out there until you play against a team that you have a 63% chance of beating. The only one on your schedule. But no, you chose to put him out there and Myles Garrett gets 4.5 sacks. So everybody got what they wanted. I believe if Justin Fields is healthy, you start him against my Lions.
Bears had a tough week last week, as did the Steelers, who got waxed by the Bengals. And here is what Mike Tomlin said after the game.
Man, we're not going to push the panic button. What do I mean by the panic button? You know, we're not going to dramatically change who and what we are at this juncture.
Jalen, should the Steelers be pushing the panic button and dramatically change who and what they are?
Anytime I have Mike Tomlin, I can sleep well at night. He's a guy that if I hear a sound in my house downstairs, I might call him to go investigate. That's how much I trust him. However, I do think it's time to panic. Here's why. Ben isn't getting any younger, and you took a running back in the first round, and your run game has not gotten any better. Mm. I've seen this movie my entire life. The Steelers motto, yeah, they had Big Ben. Yeah, they had Terry Bradshaw, some of the greatest all-time players at skill positions offensively. But they want to play physical defense and run the football. They have been incapable of doing so the last couple of years. And those numbers, I'm pretty sure, are probably some of the worst we've seen in the history of Pittsburgh Steelers football. And if that doesn't change, their goals aren't going to happen, including making the playoffs, which is something a Mike Tomlin team usually does every season.
Jalen, whenever a rapper or a boxer retires, they're also lying. It's just never happened before. And
that's
now
a
legend of the squared circle says that they're retiring, and I do not believe him. We'll talk about Manny Pacquiao right after this.
Wallace! Wallace!
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, whenever a rapper or a boxer says that they're retiring, they're simultaneously lying. Manny Pacquiao says that he is retiring. Do you believe that this is the last we've seen of Manny Pacquiao in the boxing ring?
You know how much I love my guy Manny Pacquiao and Freddie Roach, his trainer. I do not believe that that was his final fight. As he runs for his presidency of his country, it's only right for him to do another fight to pay for the campaign. Stay tuned.
We will be back tomorrow and every day at
4 o'clock
on ESPN2.
We're not done.
He grooms his hair with a tennis racket.
Not done.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. If you're listening to this podcast, there's certain things that you can't see. And one of the things you can't see is Jalen Rose showing up to the studio, grabbing a tennis racket and rubbing the tennis racket on his head to fix his hair. Now, I'm a white person, okay? So I don't understand certain things. I do not understand how that helps your hair. Tell me why you take a tennis racket. Do you bring the tennis racket from home? Is the tennis racket just there? How is rubbing a tennis racket on your head help your hair?
I got you, family. I want to quote the great American philosopher, Sheik Looch, who once said, "I rock a waist-length mink, do-rag under my fitted, and I don't even want waves. Tim's be halfway new. See me in November, December, that's uniform." The reason why I bring that up is my hair is not long enough to like rock a bonnet or like certain things that people with braids would wear, right? I'm still trying to navigate if I'm gonna be rocking like things like kufis or stuff like that. You know, I don't know how they really look on me. As it relates to my hat game, the weather's changing. Mm-hmm. And the kind of hats I like to rock coincide with the fact that my hat size has changed because this is the longest that my hair has been. And so now I gotta move like somebody that has hair. And I accepted it, right? So one of the things that I realized is that it's getting long and I gotta lay it down. And the way to do it for me, this is not the preferred route. I've asked so many people, "Hey, what you think I should wear on my head? What you think I should wear?" And I got all of this advice. You know what nobody said? Especially wearing this hairstyle, nobody said, just wear a do-rag. And so that's what I've been doing. And the thing is, it not only helps me when I'm asleep at night, but it also helps me when I want to wear a hat. So it has a duality there. And when you take off the do-rag, my hair is still flat. I know that they're, when I say flat, I think of two things. I'm turning into a flat snob.
Yes, yes,
I
welcome
blame
to,
you.
Welcome.
I blame
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
I blame
flats
you.
Flats only. Flats only
I
gang.
Blame
flats only
you.
Gang. Flats
I,
only
I
gang.
Literally, When I said that word, I just said that word out of my mouth. It reminded me of like 12 hours ago when I was ordering wings like a snob. And I looked up at the waitress and I was like, can I get flats only?
Only flats.
Yo, can one time I said get to me, flats only?
She goes, I'll check with the kitchen. And she came back and she said that she couldn't do flats only. And I was like, I don't even want wings then. I'm good. Because I know you can.
Flat snob. That's why I say that. Flats snob. That's what flats I became. Only. And so flats you'll only. See tomorrow. I'll come in studio. And I know people, there are a couple of people in the world that think Jalen got some kind of wig, some kind of cheat code on his hair. No, if it took any energy for me to do it, it wouldn't happen. You really don't know me well. And so after you take off the do-rag, you need a brush or a foam brush to now create the curly look. A lot of people rock their look with the trife look. It's more of a like nappy style, so to speak, a more natural style. Mine is more considered like a curly look. And so when I don't have a brush available, the tennis racket is the next best thing.
So did you like, but is the tennis racket just happen to be around the studio that you're at, or do you like bring it from home? Do you travel with a tennis racket?
When I first started growing my hair out, I was at this studio that I'm at right now. And I came to do the show and realized I forgot my brush. And I asked them, did they have a tennis racket? And coincidentally, they did. And so now every time I come, just like they give me water and tissue and fruit and tea, the tennis racket is here also. And it came in handy today because I needed it.
I have a serious question for you. Have you ever played tennis in your entire life?
Actually, that's one of the things I want to do more often. I have played before. Let me tell you a secret.
You just
my biological
lying.
Father.
You're never going to play tennis.
My biological father, Jimmy Walker, was the first pick in the NBA draft in 1967. He also was drafted Mr. Irrelevant that same year in the NFL draft.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
My father got drafted in the NBA and the NFL draft.
Huh.
His other hobby was playing tennis. He was really good at tennis also. And so as a shorty, as I started to stalk him in like middle school and learn more about him, when Sam Washington told me who he was and I had his basketball card, I was trying to find out like what made him tick. And one of the things that I saw that he liked to do was play tennis. But I can't front. I purposely didn't want to play because I knew that was something that he liked to do. That was the period of time where he was wearing number 24 as a player, and I chose to wear number 42. But then as I started to get older, my oldest daughter Mariah played tennis, and I played with her, took her to practice and did it a couple of times. One of our board members, Greg Bull, shout to him and his wife Susan, who have been terrific supporters and sponsors of JRLA.
Big shout to Susan.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think he's the largest individual donor that JRLA has. Greg and Susan Bull, Reg the Ledge, out of their pocket, have given JRLA around $600,000.
Woo! That's some money. That's some money.
He's also passionate about playing tennis. They both are as well. So I promised him, as one of my outside things this year, that he and I, since I'm back living in Detroit primarily, are going to play tennis. So Greg and I are already on the books, possibly this month, to play tennis.
Have you ever ice skated? Can you ice skate?
I've never stood on ice skates. No.
Have you ever skied or
no,
snowboarded?
I'm not doing that. I'll ice skate like for Christmas, like kind of like they have outside of LAPC. Like I'll try that just to try it. I ain't gonna get far. I'm gonna fall a couple times and be done. But I ain't going farther than that. You ain't getting me on no skis, dog.
I always wanted to go to a ski place. Like, can I just sled down this? Why can't I sled? Like, I'm not going to stand up on these skis, these slippery shoes. I'm not going to snowboard. But, like, can I sled? I just want to bring a sled to a ski place and just see what they say. That sounds like fun to me. I'll sled down there, but I'm not going to fall. I went snowboarding and I fell, hurt my head, bumped into a tree, all that. All that.
I'm good. I'm not going to be able to do it. That's cultural, my brother.
It is. It's also rich people stuff. Like, I feel like skiing, like, people that are really good at skiing, it's like, oh, so your family has money. I get it. You know what I mean? Like,
you got a lot of practice. Yeah. That's for sure.
My single mom was never like, hey, kids, let's get in the car and drive to the ski resort and rent equipment and gloves and boots and skis. Never happened. We had some hand-me-down cross-country skis that we used, like, twice. Shout out to my mom. Well, we always want to hear from you. If you call 9580-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. We always want to hear from you. Some of the best content that we've ever produced is because of you, the people that listen, that call 9580-JALEN, leave us voicemails. Just like this, Reg.
What up, though? This is Billy from Chicago. So I called you guys last year, right before my son was born, to ask you whether you guys were going to be over the equator or below the equator, and you guys took the call, which is dope. Also, shout out to Reginald, Khaled, Hooks, Reg the Ledge. Now, it's been almost a year. My son's birthday's coming up, his first birthday, and soft move or boss move. Adult beverages at the first year birthday party. Just trying to figure out whether or not that would be appropriate. And the second question is more for Jacoby, but Jalen, feel free to dive in. My wife looks like Jacoby, and I look like Jalen, and I'm just wondering, how do you navigate conversations about race as an interracial kid? I know your wife, you and Joey, have interracial kids, so how do you guys navigate conversations about race and identity? So keep giving people what they want, and holler at your boy.
Big shout to Billy in Chicago. I remember that call. Appreciate you calling in twice, Billy. You're my guy. First of all, I'm going to tell a quick story to answer one of your questions. We had the twins' birthday party in the park, and they were born in November, so it was a nice day. So it was like, you know, it wasn't too cold. And the birthday party started at 10 a.m., and we had a cooler there full of juice boxes and waters and whatever. And I saw some of the parents around 10:45 go over to the cooler, open it up, look inside, and then not take nothing out, and then kind of go back to what they were doing. I looked at my wife and I was like, I think some of these parents want booze. I was like, it's 11 in the morning, but I think some of these parents are disappointed that we don't have any white wine or beers or something. So I had to go make a run because I'm a host. I didn't think this is something that we had to do at 11 a.m. at a 5-year-old birthday party. So I made a run, got a bunch of wine, got a bunch of beers, put those in the cooler. They got taken down real quick. So my answer to you is, you gotta have adult beverages at your 1-year-old birthday party. Parents want a drink. Because here's the thing, the only thing you have in common with your kids' friends' parents is you had sex at the same time. That's the only thing you have in common. In the natural world, you would not be friends with these people. So alcohol does help that small talk that you have to do with your kids' parents.
You want me to chime in on that one? You want me to chime in on that one real quick?
Yes, I do. I'd love you to.
What up, though, Billy? Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. I want to expound on what Jacoby said. Being a parent doesn't exclude you from things that make you happy or relieve your stress. During the pandemic, on this show, we talked about how alcohol consumption for mothers was probably up like 200-300%.
Oh yeah.
I can only imagine what that is for fathers and men. It's probably double that. And so, not to encourage in any way, shape, or form anybody's alcoholism, but what I will say is when you go to a party, you want to have beverages. And for the crowd out there, hit the brakes, Reg.
Reg gotta hit the brakes?
I got something for the crowd out there that hears us right now and says, Oh my God, I don't know how somebody could be drinking at 10 or 11 a.m. I don't know how that can happen. Oh man, they must, let me tell you something. It's 12 noon somewhere and your body clock dictates your drinks and your eating. Have you ever seen somebody like eat something at like 11 in the morning? You like, I wouldn't be eating that, those wings at 11 in the morning. Oh my God, that'd kill my stomach, right? But your body clock dictates it, especially for anybody who doesn't work a normal 9-to-5. Like the staff for this show, I'm pretty sure y'all probably have lunch by 10 a.m. Oh, y'all probably done ate like two or three times by like 11 a.m. Like your body clock is off.
They go to the diner. The staff of the show in LA has to wake up so early. They go to the diner like 9:30 in the morning and be like, let me get a burger and fries.
Let me get a steak and potatoes at, you know what I'm saying, 12 noon. And so your body dictates that. And so also their pre-noon drinks, like Bloody Marys, right? Like,
mimosas.
Mimosas. Like, you know, they're pre-noon drinks. And also like daiquiris and breezes. And like, you can't see water, see a beach, and have a warm day and not have a daiquiri. I don't care. Or a pina colada. I don't care what time it is. Like, when I'm putting on, when I see sand, I'm ordering a drink.
I'll buy that. Here's what I know. If I have a drink in my hand at 10:30, I'm napping at 3. I'm napping before dinner. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee I'm taking a nap if there's a drink in my hand before noon. It's a guarantee.
So the answer to that, nobody's going to judge you. It's an absolute normalcy. But I got to get on my brother Jacoby for a second.
What?
Anybody that can hear my voice, please listen to this very closely.
I mean, listen to a podcast.
Every time somebody comes to your house, they want to eat and drink.
What do I do?
Every time somebody comes to your party, they want to eat and drink. This idea that you about to have people over and you're going to put like a little bowl of nuts on the table and think you're not going to eventually order some food or cook, that's not going to happen.
You're gonna have a five-year-old party
and you got water?
Water and juice boxes. It was 10:30 in the morning, dog. I didn't know we had to bring the booze.
Dog, kids.
Don't ever accuse me of not feeding and beveraging people when I host a party. Because me and my wife have a thing. Let me tell you something. It's cultural. White people do not provide enough food with their gatherings. That's one thing
that
we've learned.
That's what I'm saying.
Me and my wife, look, Caucasian people are insufficiently feed people that come to their homes. We went to this guy's house, I'll never say his name, but we went to his house. He had 25 people over. He had chips and salsa, dog. For 25 people.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. How long before y'all was ordering food, picking up food, grabbing food?
We laughed the whole way home. Me and my wife laughed the whole way home. Like, just chips and salsa for 25 people? Like, a bag of Tostitos? You didn't even put the salsa in a bowl?
Yeah, that's definitely cultural. But let me tell you, that cooler that you had juice boxes and water, even the kids didn't drink that water.
Yeah, they did, man. No, but the kids, this is what kids do. Kids take a bottle of water, like 16 ounces, open the top, take one sip, and then just put it down.
Correct.
That's what they do.
They ain't drinking that
me
water.
Me and my wife have noticed that people that look like me do not sufficiently feed people when they come to their homes.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why I brought this topic up.
There are certain friends of ours that we will eat before we go to their house because we know that their food is trash and there's not enough of it. There's people
I'm
that you
talking
and I know.
To you. Come on. I'm talking to you.
To switch gears and answer his second question, Billy, he has an interracial child and he said, you know, I have interracial children as well. And how do you talk to them about it? And I would say that there's levels. It's like the way that you introduce the topic to a 2-year-old is different than a 6-year-old, which is different than a 10-year-old, which is different than a 14-year-old. So it's like you just gotta phase into it. Like when they're young, like you have a 1-year-old. So when they're like 2 or 3, you kind of have to explain like, daddy's black, mommy's white, this is what it means. And then when they're 14, you talk about the cultural significance and the history of it. So it's a spectrum. It's every couple years there's a different level to it. It's like learning how to read. Like when, just because you can read doesn't mean you're doing Shakespeare. You know what I mean? You have to start with level 1 books, go to level 2 books, go to level 3 books. So that's my advice in terms of that. Like you start with the very, very basics as they get younger, and then you explain the significance in more detail as they get older. Why you got that look on your face? I'm being serious over here. I'm talking about race relations and educating children, and you got that look on your face. Why you got that look on your face?
Hit the brakes, Rich.
Oh God, I don't like you today, dog. We in a fight.
I got the best advice for our guy, Billy. When you're trying to have these race and identity conversations with your kids, once you go black, you never go back.
What? Billy's black, dog. He ain't going back.
Once you go black, you never go back.
What are you talking
That's
about?
That's the advice.
You made Reggie hit the brakes for that? This dude talk about
yes,
how to talk
to
his kids about race, and you're like, hit the brakes, Reg. Once you go black, you never go back. That's what you got, Uncle Jalen. You know, activist, analyst, founder of a school, great thinker. That's what you got, dog. That's what you got. I'm being all serious.
Okay.
Talking about the different levels of it and how you talk to your kids about race.
Oh, so you want me to peel back the onion?
You never go
back. You
want to
do this?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you want to do this? Okay, so let's do this then. How long you been dating Joy?
19 years.
Okay. You went black. Did you ever go back?
I've got the greatest woman in the world, the absolute perfect person for me, and an amazing, intelligent, hilarious, kind, beautiful, considerate, passionate, just the best friend I've ever had in my whole entire life. Whether she's black, white, green, purple, brown, whatever she is, that is my soulmate. I see her soul. Her soul has no color. That's the person I'm married to, her soul.
Oh man, you got to get a cap button. This guy. Man. But in all honesty, here's what I'll say. Embrace both sides. It's like anything else. There're going to be a lot of people that try to make you pick and choose. To try to make you feel like one is inferior, one is dominant. You're able to blend in this crowd, but you're not able to blend in with this crowd. I will tell you to teach them that they have the best of both worlds. And explore everything that comes with each side of what you know, each side of your brain, each side of your parents. That's what I would tell Margo. That's what I would tell Chloe. That's what I would tell Q. My niece and nephews, there are gonna be times where there's forks in a road, where people try to make them choose their black side with their mom or choose their white side with their dad. The beauty is that I would encourage them to acknowledge and understand that they are extremely special because they have both,
see,
not just one or the
button,
other.
Reg, give me an applause. Give me an applause, Reg. See, that's the Jalen Rose I was looking for. Not that once you go black, you can't. Come on, that's the Jalen. That's the articulate, intelligent, insightful Jalen Rose that is my co-host on this show. That's the one I was looking for. Appreciate you. Welcome back to the program, Jalen Rose. We got time for one more voicemail. If you call 9580-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Rich, what do you got?
What's up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? Shout out to the Ledge. Yo, we got the same name, so big shout out to you. But I got a question. Boss move or soft move? So my girlfriend always gives me a hard time because she always be telling me I'm still on her music. So, like, we like the same type of music. We both love hip-hop. Like, we're probably going to dance to Dr. Burst by Griselda at our wedding. Like, we on that type of stuff. But, you know, she's introduced me to, like, artists like Donald Byrd, War Ayers, Fela Kuti, you name it. you know, but she's into like a lot of soul and funk. Since we've been dating, I kind of adopted that music as my own. Now, every time we get in an argument or some type of debate, she always throws it in my face. Like, that's why you steal my music all the time. So my question is this, boss move or soft move to steal people's music or borrow people's music, as I say? Give me your thoughts. Keep cashing them checks. Keep getting that paper. Really show on ESPN.
Big shout to Reg. Reginald.
Got the
same name. Got the same name as Reginald Alvarez Hooks.
We off the hooks so, this year.
I always like to side with the females in arguments because generally you're never going to go wrong if you side with the females. But you know what, Reg? You're right. You're not stealing anyone's music. She didn't record it. Roy Ayers is dope. Bella Kuti is dope. You're not allowed to listen to it because she introduced you to it. I'm with you on this one. I mean, she could just, but she could go home and say, you know what, I put him onto some game. So she gets a win in that respect. But she can't throw it in your face. That like she put you onto something. That's part of a relationship. Make each other better. You know what I mean? Like that. Good for her. You know? Yeah. I love Reg. You gotta marry this woman. Roy Ayers, Fela Kuti. She's putting you on a game, and there's no reason that she should be able to throw that in your face. She's making you a better person, putting you on to things. It's like recommending a book. Shout to her and shout to you. Boss move stealing people's music. Your thoughts?
When David Jacoby speaks like E.F. Hutton, you gotta listen. And he's distinctly taught anybody that there are certain arguments with your significant other just not worth fighting. Mm-mm. Like, there are gonna be so many things that y'all don't necessarily see eye to eye about, y'all gonna disagree about, you're gonna do some things she doesn't like, and or vice versa. You gotta just let this one go, dog. Let go of the rope. I learned this a long time ago. I got so many people in my life, Jacoby, friends and family. I've learned this over my 48 years of living. So many people think they wanna do a tug of war with me. You know how I win? I just let go of the rope.
Let go of the rope. I don't have to win. That's one of my biggest pieces of advice for couples. Like, you don't have to win. Another thing you can do, you know how many times I've said sorry to my wife and I didn't really mean it? Hundreds. Just apologize, even if you don't mean it. Don't hold on to that word like it's a piece of gold. Just say sorry for stuff you're not sorry for. It's great. You don't have to win the argument. Just tell her she's right and that you're sorry and move on. Move on. But she should
also
not be.
But I gotta say one other thing. She turning you on to some classics, dog.
Yeah, she is.
It ain't like she turning you on to no whackness. You know what I'm saying? She turning you on to some dopeness. So to me, you need to let her turn you on to some more stuff. That's my two cents.
And I got one more thing before we get out. I'm gonna give a little musical recommendation along the same lines. Lee Fields, just like Justin Fields. L-E-E Fields. Put that in your Spotify, in your Apple Music, or whatever. Put that in your car, turn it up on 10, and you will not regret it. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.